Thank you. Good Sunday morning, everyone. Give me a wave. And if we can't hug or shake hands, we'll definitely give each other a wave. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning on a gorgeous, gorgeous, sunny Lord's Day. For those who are gathered inside with me, those that are outside on the lawn, and those over in the sanctuary, it is a pleasure to have you with us as we worship the Lord today in spirit and in truth. Got a lot of things that we want to discuss, a lot of things on the schedule for today, so we're going to go as quickly as we possibly can, and it's like I tell people sometimes, I said, I'm going to talk fast, so you're going to have to listen fast today, but let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, you're good to us, and what a gorgeous day you have given us and allowed us to experience. So, Father, right now, we're grateful that we can take this opportunity to be in your house. What a joy and a privilege it is to come together with like-minded Christians, Lord, for the specific purpose of being able to lift you up, Lord, to praise you, to worship you this day. And Lord, I pray that every aspect of what we do, that is exactly what will happen this morning. Help us, Lord, to rid our minds of distractions. Help us, Father, to truly seek your will here today, because if we know, if we've come seeking, we'll find. You have a message for us. Lord, help us to be careful to hear what the Spirit has to say. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, we encourage those that are viewing today that are live online, or those that are watching our broadcast. We have Dr. Gant over there who is working with our online community even as we speak. So say hello to him. Let him know where you're from, or if you have any questions, be sure to let him know. And you can do this. I want everybody to do this for me today. Everybody say, on the count of three, everybody say amen. One, two, three. Nobody's accused you of anything. That felt pretty good, didn't it? It's all right to do that. Now, for those in our online community, look, there's this thing in front of you. It's called a keyboard, and it's got an A, an M, an E, and an N, and then you hit return. You can say amen too, but at any rate, we're glad you're with us today. We're in that special time of the year that we collect the Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes to touch hearts and lives of so many people around this world. Today is one of our end gatherings. We're going to give you a few moments to get ready for that. If you've fixed your box, I was going to say constructed your box, and you have brought it today, I know some of y'all cheated because you're scared to death of a camera, and you've already placed a few of them up here. But as always, we just ask you to bring that box forward, and I'll let you know when that is in just a few moments, so that you can have an opportunity to say a prayer, offer that as a gift of sacrifice to our Lord and Savior on this altar, that it might truly be used for His honor, for His glory. Right now, we have another one of our Operation Christmas Child videos, and then Miss Beverly is going to give you a word or two as we go forward.
Palo tsa bana tse leng gore ya taga ke dumela gore modimo o e dirisa bone bana ba go boloka tšhaba ya serenang.
People need God in this village. They need the word. When I walk around this community, children were much rejected and neglected.
Jeff, thank you. Don't let that worry you, buddy. Stuff happens. It's been one of those crazy mornings. Amen. We don't let stuff like that hold us up, do we? But anyway, we don't need a video. You know why we don't need a video? Because we have a Beverly Allred. So, Bev, if you would come on up and tell us the important things about Operation Christmas Child, or things that we need to know, or whatever the Lord has put on your heart. And as always, as Miss Bev makes her way up front, just remember this in just a moment, that as Santa has little helpers, Bev has little helpers as well.
When we think about OCC, the first thing I think about, I tend to be a very tactical person, so I want to think of all the details.
You got your helpers.
Oh, no. I even got OCC boxes for my greeters. All right. But when we think about the tactical things, but the very first thing I think about, I think about the boys and girls that have the opportunity to learn about Jesus, how that's going to impact their lives, how it will impact their family lives. So most of all, we do go through a lot of details of what to do, but that's the most important thing, is that we're spreading the gospel all over the world. And I love our big boxes here for sure. Today is our first in-gathering day, and a lot of times when we have the in-gathering, people say, oops, it's Operation Christmas Child. We do it in 2 weeks, so we have today, we also have next week. Not that I want us to do this, but we also have an advantage this year. We'll be collecting shoeboxes here at the church from the 16th to the 23rd. So just in case you forget, we always have that opportunity as well. But to fill our boxes, it looks like we've got some right over here. There's shoeboxes around the church, but there's a flyer here that's definitely going to help you to walk exactly way you through what you should do when you go through it. There's definitely some do's and some don'ts of what you can put into the shoebox. And I hate to say it, it changes every year. Many years ago, we always made sure that there was candy in the shoeboxes and toothpaste, you know, to help with the cavities. You can't send either one now. So like I said, just walk through here. It'll help you pack the shoebox. If you want to track your shoebox, you have that great opportunity to do that this year as you scan your shoebox and all. So I always like to see what country my shoebox goes to. And don't forget, put that letter to your child that's going to let them know that Jesus loves them. You know, when we did a letter, we've always done a letter, we've gotten one back. And what a joyous thing that was for our hearts. It still sits in our kitchen so that we remember OCC every day. So today, next week, is our in-gatherings. And then after that, we kick up our drop-off site here from November 16th to the 23rd. I thank you for the volunteers that have come forward to say they're here to help. We don't know whether to expect 10 boxes or 10,000 boxes, but God's got it under control, so we'll go with that. We thank you again. Most of all, think about the lives that you could change by doing an OCC box, and pray for the child that will receive your box. And I thank my helpers here tremendously.
We appreciate all that Miss Beverly does to put her heart and soul and do everything that she does with all of her heart as unto the Lord. And this is one of those things. We're excited about having that opportunity to participate in the OCC as a regional drop-off. So we'll have a couple of boxes that'll be out here as well, I think, as Stuart the Minion when people begin to drop off at various and sundriest times. But if you can help, I know Miss Beverly has a schedule. We could certainly use some help on some of those drop-off days. She's got, I believe, back at the table, there is a list of the times available for us to be able to work, or what our collection times are. So if you can lend a hand in helping with that, that would be outstanding. A moment ago I mentioned, as well as Miss Beverly did, that today is the first day of our in-gathering, and that's just a fancy word of saying the time when we collect the shoe boxes. So those that have constructed them, whether you're in this building, whether you're outside, whether you're in our sanctuary, or whether you're at home, we're just going to take this moment. If you have your box with you, you can bring it down here. You can place it on the altar. You can do the same if you're over in our sanctuary. If you're outside, you can bring that box in, and we will make sure that somebody gets that so we can put it with those that are going to be set up and ready to go. But as I mentioned before, the importance of this is that we're using this as a tool to be able to spread the gospel. So as you pack that shoebox with love and care and with sacrifice, it cost you something to do that. It cost you time. It cost you money. It cost you effort. We're just asking you to pray that God will bless those efforts, that he will reach that child, and not only that child, but that child's family. So as you bring your boxes forward, you can place them on the altar. Just take that moment to say a prayer over that box. You do that now wherever you are. If you're in the other building, wherever you come now, place that box, lift that prayer, and we'll spend a moment in silence. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to you today, we do so knowing that there are many ways that you use to reach the hearts and lives of those that from before the foundations of this earth, you knew. Lord, you knew when they were knit together in the womb and even before that. So, Lord, we're part of a precious plan that you have, part of a journey. And Father, for those children and those families that will have an opportunity to be ministered to with the shoebox. Lord, it's not about the shoebox. It's not about the contents of what's in it. It's about a way of showing love, and not just love, the ultimate love, sharing how Jesus Christ loved each and every individual so much that he went to Calvary's cross, laid down his life, and picked it up again that all might have the opportunity for salvation by grace through faith. And Lord, we just pray for each and every child and family that will be reached. Lord, for those that will be on the other end of the project that will be passing the boxes out. Lord, we pray that you will give them wisdom, that you'll give them the words to say, that you will give them courage like never before to be instruments used in your hand to reach others with the gospel of Christ. And truly, Lord, I pray that they will have an opportunity to be trained to serve you. So Lord, bless the efforts as we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. As you find that, you know, we're heading into a week that I believe it's a week that shouldn't just slip by from people. I think this is a week that should be one that is paramount in our heart. It should be paramount in our country, because this week we will be celebrating Veterans Day. Now, I hope and pray, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I hope and pray that you have remembered that, not simply because that you get a day off work. Some people do, some people don't. But my prayer is that as we view Veterans Day, that we will take the moments and that we will take the opportunity to truly be thankful for all that we have in the land of the free, in the home of the brave, because of what others were willing to do for us. Now, this is such a disjointed year as we come together in worship. COVID has changed so many things. But as little as this may seem, I don't want this to get past us today as a church. Because one of the things that we always do around here is we like to recognize those in our group that are veterans, those who have served our country, whether it was during peacetime, whether they were deployed, whatever it may have been, those who answered the call to serve this great country in our armed forces, United States Air Force, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard. And this, normally we would present just a little token of our appreciation. And in this COVID world, we can't do that. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to not miss recognizing you. So if we have folks here today that served in our armed forces, would you just do us a favor? Please stand. If you're outside on the lawn and you served in the military, please stand up. If you're over in the sanctuary, please stand up. Or if you're sitting at home, pull that lever on that recliner and stand up for us so that we can take that moment to recognize you. Now, I know there's at least one in here. Go ahead and stand up, brother. Because let's take the time and let's give them a hand. Let's show them appreciation. There's Jonathan back there. You got Kirk over here. And I'm sure there are those over in our sanctuary as well as outside and at home. I want to tell you that from the bottom of my heart, not only my heart, but as I represent our church, I'm thankful for what you've done to give us the rights and the privileges that we have today, willing to stand in the gap. I mean, I know as I look around the room, those who have been deployed, those that were not in times of peace, those that were in times of peace, but no matter what, they were willing and they were ready to stand in the gap for the freedoms that you and I exercise each and every day, that quite frankly in our society, it doesn't seem that we're grateful for anymore. So I don't want us to be in that crowd. I want us to thank the men and women who have served in our armed forces to preserve the peace in our country and to bring about the freedoms that we have that opportunity to enjoy. And that's what I want us to look at today in the Word of God out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the passages I want to use there are more of a theme, or if you would call it a thesis. Most of you all have heard that word. I've heard it a lot. I heard it a lot when I was in college. I've heard it a lot as my son's in college. And I always talk about a thesis statement. What is the thing that the sentence or two that really incorporates what it is that you're trying to get across in the whole body of the circumstance or situation? And today, this morning, we want to use 2 Timothy chapter 2, specifically verses 3 and 4, as our thesis this morning from the Word of God. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, it says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us, and we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And today it is not about Roy Carter. Today it is not about any of us, but Lord, it is about you. I pray that you will help each and every one of us to still our hearts in your presence, that we might truly give ear to what the Spirit would have to say to us today. For Lord, you have a word for us. May we be challenged in our walk with you today. May we be challenged in our service for you today. And Lord, may each and every one of us walk away from this place different because we've been in your presence. So Father, bless this time as only you can, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is Paul's letter, and Paul's letter to Timothy, just to give you a little bit of background about what is taking place. You know, Paul has just left Rome. He finds himself in prison, but he's in prison differently than before. I know a lot of us would sit back and say, in a lot of Paul's writing, we find where Paul is in prison, and we see where the Lord had taken care of him and watched over him and delivered him from those situations. But this one's a little bit different. This is almost like a last will and testament. This is Paul's last letter that he wrote. He is sitting in prison, not house arrest, not with an ankle bracelet, not one of those where he was given freedoms. He was in solitary confinement, essentially on death row, knowing that he was going to be beheaded in the very, very near future. So he is sitting down, he is penning this letter, and he is giving some encouragement. He is not one of those guys who's sitting back second guessing or wondering what is taking place. But yet Paul had a student, his son in the ministry, as it were, by the name of Timothy. Timothy had been with him, and Timothy had walked and been his assistant and been his aide on many of the missionary journeys. And Paul realizes that his time is coming to an end. But he also realized that didn't mean that the ministry would be coming to an end, or the obligations or the responsibilities. So he is wanting to encourage young Timothy that no matter what happens, to be that faithful servant of the Lord, to be that one that knows and understands. He encouraged him to be a student in the Word of the Lord. Now, most of us know the passage that comes out of 2 Timothy 2:15. If you're in Awana, you better know this one, because that is the key verse. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So, you know, Paul's sitting there saying, be ready, be prepared, Timothy. And this message doesn't just simply go to Timothy. It is one that you and I could take just as well. Are we ready? Have we been the student of the Word of God that we need to be? Have we been the type of Christian people who spend our time in the Word of God, studying it, knowing it, living it, so that other people might see him in us? Now, why is that important? Remember, I said that these passages that we're looking at in 2 Timothy stand to us as a theme or a thesis. And he said that you endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, many of you would sit back and say, well, I know what that's like, because we've all endured hardships along the way. But he goes on and gives a little bit more about that in verse 4. He says that no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him. Now, this morning, I want your heart to be challenged, because I want you to be able to answer this question. And remember this: to thine own self be true. Be truthful with yourself. As the Holy Spirit poses that question in your heart and in your life today, let me ask this. Are you engaged in the affairs of this life more so than you are engaged in the affairs of the one who called you to please him? Yeah, is your spirituality a Sunday thing or a Wednesday thing? Or is it a 24-hour, 7-day a week, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter who you come in contact with, is it a 24/7 walk with the Lord? You know, does your life reflect Jesus differently Monday through Sunday than it does, or Monday through Saturday than it does on Sunday? Now, I know most of us can sit back and we can think of folks that we're evaluating, but it's not about evaluating other folks, it's about evaluating ourselves. You know, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? He's saying, don't be so tangled up in the world. Don't be so tangled up in the affairs. Don't be so busy with the things that are going on and so busy with the things that are taking place that you are missing what it is, A, that God has for you, B, what he wants you to do for him, and C, the joy of serving the Lord. It is a joy to serve our Lord and Savior. Now, when I think about this, you think about those who were in the military. You think about those who had that opportunity to stand up, those who took a section or a portion of their life, and they gave it to not only this country, but they gave it to you and I. Some of you remember what it was like, whether you were a little bit older, whether you were younger. A lot of the guys that go are going pretty much right out of high school. Some of them, I still remember when when I graduated high school, some of them took their diploma, walked off the stage, got in a military transport vehicle on their way to begin boot camp. They were taken away from the things that would be distracting to them. Right, brother? You didn't have to worry about where your meal was going to come from because Uncle Sam was going to feed you. You might have had pineapple upside down beans, but you had something to eat. It might not have been mama's cooking or grandma's cooking, but you were going to be fed. You didn't have to worry about doing laundry because Uncle Sam had a wardrobe for you, right? Yeah, he had a wardrobe for you, and you were going to wear that wardrobe. You learned the disciplines, but the way that became effective was that you had to be removed from all of the things that would be a distraction to you. Most of you weren't even in the same town. Most of you didn't even get to have an opportunity to call home but maybe once a week for 5 minutes or less. Yeah, they essentially were teaching you. They were teaching you their way, the way of warfare, the way of combat, the way of preservation for the American way, so that you might be the one to stand in the middle, to stand in the gap, to stand between. And it's so ironic that throughout the Bible, and particularly Paul, he makes some comparisons with our walk as a Christian to that of a soldier. Have you separated yourself spiritually from the world? Or are there too many distractions around you? Folks, I want to tell you, I'll be honest with you, I am glad election season's over. How about you? My phone has rang more times. I don't even know how people get my number. They get your cell phone and they call you at home. And I get that. They want to persuade you. But let me tell you the bad part about that. I have seen people cutting each other off at the emotional and spiritual knees for months now. And let me promise you this. That is not what God would have for us to do. We are entitled to have an opinion, and your opinion may differ from mine, but here's the thing, I'm still going to love you. Yeah, I may tell you you're wrong, you might tell me I'm wrong, but let's go get a cup of coffee afterwards. Let's not try to use the venom that Satan has put out. Listen, wake up today. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you what he's done. Satan has distracted us, and he's done a pretty good job, hadn't he? He has distracted us from our mission personally. He has distracted us from the things that we need to be doing because of the thing. All Satan wants to do is keep us busy with something besides things that will honor and glorify our Lord. And he's good at keeping us busy, isn't he? And what was it that Paul was telling Timothy? He says, no one who is engaged, verse 4, in warfare. And folks, if you don't get this yet, let me give you a wake-up statement as a Christian. We are at war. Did you hear me? We are at war. If you don't think that, then you're in the wrong place. You're going to get mowed over. You are going to get slapped, run over by this world because we are at war. But here's the thing. We're not supposed to be at war with one another. We're supposed to be at war with the evil one. We don't wrestle, the word tells us, against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities of evil. It is Satan that we're supposed to be battling, but we're battling one another, and it's time to stop. It is time to get busy being the armies of the living God. How many times throughout the Word did Israel forget who they were? Most of us know that story of David and Goliath. And we know that what had happened was when Israel came up against the Philistines, that 40-day period when all they did was mouth off back and forth to one another, but ran from one another. Until a little teenage boy came up and reminded them who they were, a little teenage boy named David, who said, "Who do these guys think they are?" Yeah, I think that David's comment would have been better suited to have told Israel, "Don't you guys remember who you are?" Let me ask you something this morning, folks. Do we remember who we are as believers? Have we forgotten that? We are part of the greatest, biggest, most powerful army in the world, in the nation, in the universe, the armies of the living God. Listen, there is nothing beyond the control of my God. Period. Period. Nothing. That's who I serve. And when it looks like we're down, remember who you serve. When it looks like we're out, remember who you serve. And here's something else you need to remember, that even as little children, we used to sing a song, "He's got the whole world in his hands, and he still has the whole world in his hands." Nothing has taken God by surprise. But it is time to rally the troops. It is time for the soldiers of the cross to rise to the occasion. It is time for the soldier of the cross to evaluate themselves in light of 2 Timothy 2:3-4. It is time for us to evaluate ourselves to see if we're engaged or entangled more in the things of the world, the affairs of this life, that we're so busy doing life that we've left God completely out of it. You know, there's some interesting things about soldiers. Now, I would be able to say this, but there was a time when our military didn't have a choice. That was that thing called the draft. Some of y'all remember that. Some of you watching or over in the other building may have experienced that. You didn't have a choice. You didn't sign up. They signed you up. But today, and for decades, the way it's been is that if you're going to serve in the U.S. military, you sign up. A recruiter might have been really persuasive, but you're the one who has decided that you are going to give this segment of your life to learn the disciplines of combat, to learn what it means to defend a nation, what it means to defend a country, what it means to understand that freedom doesn't come free. I think we've forgotten that in our generations that live today. It's a voluntary thing. Folks, let me tell you this. When it comes down to Jesus, that's a voluntary sign up as well. He doesn't force himself into anybody's life. But softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He tells you what's in store. You know, it's ironic that sometimes when guys go down there and they sign up for our military, they do so understanding that they could be deployed. They understand that there could be a war on the horizon. They understand many, many concepts and many, many aspects, that it's not just about going in like summer camp. Yeah, they're going to be taxed. They're going to be tested mentally. They're going to be taxed and tested physically. They know that test is coming, and they know that there may come a time when they have to put their life on the line or even lay it down, that you and I may have the rights that we have today. And they're ready to do that. They willfully and voluntarily sign up. Folks, today, Jesus, the recruiter, is asking you if you will receive eternal life through his only begotten Son. He says, now let me tell you this, there are going to be battles. Anybody here that's Christian, would you give me an amen on the fact that there are battles in the Christian life? Amen. It's not easy, is it? There are times when you got to have your equipment together. There are times that you go to war. Yeah, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about putting on the armor of God. It is relating our spiritual walk and spiritual warfare to that of a soldier who's got his equipment right. You know, they don't just get up in their a pair of BDUs and a t-shirt and go out into combat. Now, if you've ever looked at a soldier, he's prepared. He's got his rifle. He's got his extra ammo. He's got on his vest, his tactical vest. He's got everything that he needs as best he can to be well protected to go out and to do the job. As Christians, are we going that way? I preached a sermon years and years ago called Spiritual Streakers. Remember that? You know why? Because there's a lot of Christian people running around with just the helmet of salvation and nothing else. Bunch of spiritual streakers. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Because folks, let me tune you in on something today. We are in a battle. You might not be on the front line. You might be on the second line or the third line. It doesn't matter where you are. Get in the fight. Because we don't have that much time left. So just like it's voluntary today to sign up for our military, Jesus is asking you to voluntarily sign up through the shed blood of Jesus Christ to be his child. Let me give you another little illustration. You don't have to turn there, but for the sake of time, I want to mention another scenario that comes from the Word of God. It comes out of Judges chapter 7 and it begins in verse 2. And you're going to be familiar with this. But Judges 7, beginning with verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Verse 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." That's an interesting story, isn't it? You know what the Lord said? And I believe he's saying that today. I believe that God Almighty has approached the church, even in the midst of this COVID. He said, you know what? He said, if you're afraid, go home. I don't need you. Just go on. Yeah, everybody in here has probably had some circumstance or situation where you've had something that you've had to do and you really needed the most dedicated people to be a part of it, didn't you? Let me tell you something, brother. When you went out in combat, you needed to know you could count on those people, couldn't you? Yeah, there were some that you were sitting there going, your head's not in the right place. We need to talk, or you need to see the chaplain because my life may depend upon you. You know what the Lord said? I believe that the Lord has gone to the church and he said, if y'all are afraid, just go on home. And you know what you know what was really interesting? A whole bunch of them have. They've just gone home. They've just quit. They've quit on Jesus. I'm not just talking about church or church attendance. I'm talking about Jesus. Attendance at church don't get you to heaven. Attendance in heaven is based on Jesus. Okay? And he said, get this, did you realize the largest majority of them went home? I think it's verse 4. Go back to verse 4. It says, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Let's go on back up a little bit before that. Verse 3. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. Now think about that for a moment. You're getting ready to go to battle, and he says, if y'all are afraid, y'all just go on back home. It'll be all right. And I'm sure they were probably going, And did you get it? Let's finish that verse. It says, and in the latter part of verse 3, and 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. Okay, that is, last count, 22 and 10 is 32,000 is what he started with. And 20,000 of them went home because they were afraid. You know what? I know why the Lord is saying that he was going to do this. He told Gideon why he was doing that. He said, I'm doing this thing with you so that I might get credit, that I might get the glory, that I might get the praise, because people will know that what's going to take place here cannot be done by human hands. That's why he did it. But I also believe that he did something else. He started giving a criteria for those who stayed. After the 22 left, that was the largest portion of them. There was only 10,000 left. But he said to them, he did another test. He told Gideon, he said, take them down to the water. And I'm going to tell you who you'll keep, and I'm going to tell you who's going to go home. Now, let me get you the picture in your head. He says that when they go down to drink, that there's going to be a certain crowd of those that are going to basically just drop down to their knees and just stick their face into the water and get a drink. They're going to stick their face down there and go and get them a drink. How many of y'all have ever done that before? Hallelujah, my country people. I have too, you know. But then there's the more, I'll call it civilized way. See, some of them went down there and they just got down on their knees and And then there were others that went down and did this. They knelt down and they reached with their hand and they picked up the water to drink. Now, this is not spelled out in the scripture, but do you realize that what took place in that evaluation? Those who reached down and got a handful and brought it up were those that were alert, those that were aware, those that were constantly watching to make sure that a sneak attack from the enemy did not take place. Those are the guys you wanted in your caravan. Those were the guys that had situational awareness. You know what? Some dude has his face down there in the water drinking. Somebody could have come up and killed him just like that. But those who took from the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, you see those guys doing this? That's your crew that you're going to keep. That's the crew you're going to ride into battle with. See, there was some criteria. There was a grade issued of those that were following. So let me ask you this. What grade are you making as you follow the Lord today? Are you a lapper? Are you one just sticking your face down in the water? Or did you go home? Where are you on the scale that we find of the Lord's measuring stick when it comes to being a soldier of the cross? Now, I've said this many, many times. God does not call everyone to stand up in a pulpit and preach. But let me tell you what he has done. He has called every one of you to be a witness for him, where he has placed you, with the talents and abilities that he has given you to use for him. Honestly, listen, when the Spirit is asking you this question this morning, how do you answer the question? Where do you stand as part of the army of the living God? Have you gone home? You just decided, I'm out. Somebody else handle it. Have you stayed around, but you've gone down to the water, but you are not situationally aware of what's taking place? Or have you been one who is very aware? Folks, what do we need to be aware of? We need to be aware that God loves us, Jesus died for us, and the end is coming. And it's coming rapidly. It says, work during the day, for the night comes when no man shall have the opportunity to work. You see, Paul was encouraging young Timothy. He's saying, look, I'm going to be gone here in a few days. And what I want more than anything in this world is for the ministry to keep on going. And the way that that happens is we've got to have people in tune to the love of God. We've got to have people in tune to Jesus so that when one man goes down, there's another to take his place. Isn't that the way it went, brother? If one went down, there was another to step in, another to take his place. Because we were fighting for a cause. We're fighting for a purpose. And Paul said, if they're going to take me out, I pray that there's 10 more that will rise because of what I've done. You see, I think that churches should be more concerned not about having the wall of fame of all the pastors who have served in the past, but I think the best wall of fame will be all of those that God called out of that church that are serving in other places right now. That's what I think the wall of fame should look like. Where are they? Where are those people? Where are you? Have you gone home? Now listen, God didn't scold them because they went home. He didn't. But you know what he did do? He wanted to make sure that he had the best of the best of the best. That is the 300 that he went into battle. Now, I don't know about you, I don't shoot for second or third. I don't run the race just to simply finish. As Paul said, I run the race that I might win the race. Is it going to be hard? Yep. Are there going to be struggles? Yes. Is there going to be opposition? Yes. But folks, what did you expect? When you go to battle, do you expect the enemy to pat you on the head and tell you how wonderful you are? It's time for us to knock it off. It's time for us to get some spiritual feelings, if you know what I'm saying. Not get them hurt so bad. Because let me promise you this, if you follow Jesus like you're supposed to do, are you ready? There's going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be people who are going to disagree with you. There are going to be people who are going to turn their back on you. There are going to be people, are you ready for this? Who don't like you for the cause of Jesus Christ. Where are my sensitive people out there? Come on. Confession's good for the soul. You get your feelings hurt. Thank you, Debbie. It's like an invitation, old Baptist invitation. I see that hand. I see that hand. They're starting to come up a little bit more. You know why? Because it's the truth. Nobody likes to get their feelings hurt. Something happens, and in the moment, you're shocked to start with, and then you're like, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe. Then the more you think about it, the more it breaks your heart, and you get soft and gooey, and your feelings get hurt. I can't believe they did that to me. And now, how many of you all can't get over that day? Yeah. It takes you a while. You have to sort through that thing. And some of you in your life, listen, you know who you are in your life. What you've done is you said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I wish I was like so-and-so that did just water off a duck's back and I can just turn around and walk in it and it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. But that's not how God made you. But let me tell you what God did do. God told you that even when your feelings get hurt, if you are standing on what is true, when you are standing on what is right, then the only person that needs to be happy with you is Him. And you are a soldier. And if you're a soldier, you're in battle. And if you're in battle, there's an opportunity for you to get hurt or injured. There might even be the opportunity that you lose your life. Paul did. Stephen did. The disciples lost their lives. The majority of them were martyred. Lost their lives for what they believed. I heard the story one time. Don't know whether it was true or not, but it makes for a good tale. There was a church that was meeting in a place where there was persecution, and a fella came in with a rifle, and he told everybody who would renounce Jesus that they could leave. The majority of the people got up and walked out, at which point the gunman turned to the preacher, shouldered his rifle, took his seat. He said, "Preacher, now that the real Christians are here, you can begin your sermon." If that happened today, would you still be seated in church, or would you be in the wind? Would you be a good soldier? People sit back all the time and they say, well, that doesn't happen in America. Folks, there's a lot of things that ain't supposed to happen in America that are happening in America right now. We have forgotten that our freedoms have been bought with a price. Soldiers, I love you. If nobody else tells you this, I want you to know this. I love you. I love you. Guys over near the building, I love you. Guys sitting at home, I love you. And I am so grateful for the privilege to stand up today and preach the word. I've heard some of the stories of some of these men in our church that you wouldn't believe if you heard them. Some of the things they've seen, some of the things they've done, some of the things that have happened to them for the cause of freedom in the United States of America. And they deserve our honor. They deserve it. They earned it. And we're ready to give their life for it. I said a moment ago that there was a thesis in this message out of 2 Timothy 2:3. As I close, let's go back to that thesis. 2 Timothy 2:3 and 4. Therefore, you therefore must endure hardship. Did you get that? You must endure hardship. It's not going to be an easy road. Not you should, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Have you signed up for His army? What kind of soldier are you? Are you a good one? Have you been through the discipline? It's been amazing as I've watched before. I've watched some of the biggest brats you ever saw in your life. Biggest troublemakers you ever saw. Biggest reprobates you ever saw. Leave high school, go into the military, and came back a completely different person. Because they had a cause by which to fight for. They learned the disciplines. They became the kindest, most upstanding citizens on the face of this planet because they realized they were fighting for something bigger than them. Are you enduring hardships, or have you walked away?
My feelings got hurt. I ain't doing this no more. I don't like what the preacher said. My Sunday school teacher hadn't called me.
Think how trivial that is now. Doesn't that sound so trivial when we think about the greater cause and the greater good? Trivial. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he goes on and says this in verse 4, the thesis, no one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Do not get so caught up in all of the peripheral things in life, things that should be peripheral that we have made a focus, that don't have anything to do with Jesus. Now, I want to put it in this context. It seems like the things that we go after the most in this life aren't going to make it into eternity. Our finances are, and by the way, I'm not saying it's not good to have money, but make sure that you manage the money in a godly way, that the money don't manage you. The things that we strive for, are they in this world or are they out of this world? When God has called you as an enlisted soldier to be a part of the team, are you giving him the ample due to your service that God has called you to do? I can imagine what it would be like if I'd have said, well, you know, I don't feel like preaching the month of December. I'll just forget that. It'll be all right. Y'all probably wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that, but yeah, y'all would be going. Now here's what people would say. People would say, well, that's what we pay you to do. Mm-mm. God called me to do this, with or without pay. Hope no finance committee were here, right? With or without it, this is what God's called me to do. And folks, if somebody's got to pay you, I've seen that before in my life when somebody said, well, how much am I going to get paid to do that? I said, the benefits on this one are out of this world. Well, I'm not going to do it. You know what my thought was? Good. You don't need to do it. 22,000 went home. How much is the pay? Nothing. Oh, look at me. I got to wash the hog and feed the kid. Bye. There have been people in your life that you didn't want part of your project because their dedication wasn't there. Where is your dedication as a soldier of the cross? Are you so entangled, verse 4, in the affairs of this life that you are not pleasing your commander? You know, I wasn't in the military, but I was in a paramilitary organization in the police department. There was rank, there were people who were over you. And I can still remember that there were times when my commander would tell me to do something that I did not want to do. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was right. And you know what I did? I looked him right square in the eye and I said, yes, sir. I'm on my way. I didn't always understand it. Folks, have all of you always understood what God has called you to do while you were doing it? No. But has he ever let you down? No. He knows what is right. He knows what is best. I think of a time when, and I've shared this before because it put such an impression in my life that I was on a call one time. I went to a house. I was a corporal. The other guy was a sergeant. We got to the house, and it was a lady who had called from out of state and said that her mother, she was talking to her mother on the phone, and her mother was attempting suicide and had taken a bunch of pills. And she said the line is still open. She is not responding, and there are weapons in the house. We got to the door. We couldn't get anybody to the door. We were being very meticulous at how we went in that particular situation. Then a commander showed up. It was a corporal, me, a sergeant, and then a commander showed up. Guess who's in charge on the scene? The commander. He knew what was going on. I saw him out, and we were still by the doors. He didn't get out of his car yet, but I could see him on the phone, and that was a pretty cool thing because that was in the days when you didn't have cell phones, but the commander had one. And I still remember him shutting that door of that police vehicle and walking up to the front porch, and he said, we're going in. And I said, whoa, I was like, I didn't say it, but I was like, whoa, we got a tactical team for this stuff. They've been trained to do, this is what they do. He said, we don't have time. We're going in. Greg, you take the door down. Roy, you've got left side. Greg, you've got right. I'll be covering both of you as best I can as we go in, depending on the layout of the house. We went in. It was a living room. It was an old set of steps. I couldn't see anything. And then I heard, looking to my right, Greg was over there. I made my way over there. And down a long hall with no escape laid a lady in the floor. We went in there, made sure, slowly and cautiously, but medics were waiting outside because the commander had already called them. And about the time we got to the lady, she stopped breathing. EMS rushed in and saved her life. If I'd have been making that call, she wouldn't have made it because I'd have been waiting on tactical. When the commander says it's time to go, it's time to go. The commander is telling Central Baptist Church it is time to go. Grab your gear. Grab your weapon. We ain't got but one. We have one weapon, Christian, that one offensive weapon, and it's right here. It's a sword. It's a two-edged sword. It's quick and it's powerful. This is all we got. But here's the great part. This is all we need. Right here. As you evaluate yourself as a soldier today through the conviction of the Spirit, what will you tell Jesus? He's come in today. You know what he said? He said, if you want to, you can go on home. Are you going to go home? He said, we got a core left, but there's still too many. Folks, there's never going to be enough Christians, but bottom line is God is wanting to do something so big man can't do it that he might get the praise for it. What is the notion of the church, the true church? We need to remember those and appreciate those in our church, just like Paul and through our history of church that have paid the price. And we also need to appreciate those who have fought and sacrificed so much that we can worship and share the gospel. I have preached before where I've had guards standing outside because I wasn't supposed to be doing it. They were there on my side to make sure Roy didn't get put in jail. I've been there. You know what? I'm not worried that there's somebody standing outside wanting to haul me off. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. We owe a lot. This week, as you remember Veterans Day, how about honoring a veteran? If you see one in a restaurant, don't tell them. Just have a waitress bring a tab over to you. You can write them a little note. Thank you for my freedoms. Oh, and by the way, don't just do that on Veterans Day. Why don't we do that every day? When it comes to your spiritual walk, how did you stack up today? You gone home? You got your face down in the water? Or are you standing by waiting on God to do something great? I love that little commercial that's got a little boy and his daddy. They're sitting out there and they're watching the sun rise and his dad's going, gone. When the son, y'all seen that one? And then the little boy whispers to his daddy, he goes, do it again, daddy. God's wanting to do something great. I am going to be a part of it. Will you? Don't go home. Get on down to the river. And when you get down to the river, drink like this. Be aware.
because God has something great planned. Have you trusted him? First of all, have you given him your life? In just a moment, our brass is going to play an invitation time as they prepare themselves to do that. Have you trusted in Jesus? See, that's the only message we really have. I don't have a ton of messages for you. I got one. Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. Have you given your life to him? Have you trusted him? If not, then I'm just going to simply ask you where you are. Listen, as the Lord is working in your heart, just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sin. Save my soul. In Jesus' name. And you know what? If you meant that with all your heart, then he did. If you meant that with all of your heart, there's rejoicing of all the saints in heaven. Today, heaven is enlarged because of your decision. The book of life is being opened up, and there's writing in it that's got your name on it. Isn't that cool? You've just gained a huge family of brothers and sisters. Maybe you're here today, and you know what? The Lord's just really been on your heart about your walk with him, about your service as a soldier. He's given you an evaluation, and it didn't stack up the way you wanted it to. There's another chance. He's given you a chance. If you're afraid, go home. Just get out. If not, then join me at the river. And when you're down there, you got to realize you're out in the world. The enemy's all around you, seeking whom he may devour. So be alert. Be ready. Because God, I promise you, God is going to do something great. And I want to be a part of it. I don't want to be sitting at home when it happens. I want to be right in the middle of it. How about you? Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I realize I'm not walking as I should. Help me, Lord, today to come back to you. Lord, my feelings have been hurt and I walked away. Help me come back to you. Lord, there have been times I've been down by the river, but I wasn't alert, and I didn't get to be a part of something great you had going on. Lord, help me in these remaining days that we have. Help me, Lord, to be a good soldier of the cross. Help me to be a good soldier for you. As I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, whatever decision it is that God has led you to make today, and I pray that it's something one way or the other, would you just bow your head in these moments as our band plays, spend these moments with God, push the world out that you might hear from the Father and hear well in an attitude of prayer as our band plays.
again, God is good. And all the time, God really, really is good. I'm excited about what God has in store for the future. Would you join us? Listen, thank a veteran today for their service. It means more to them than you will ever know. It doesn't have to be anything major. Just a thank you, particularly in this day and age, goes so far. So to my guys that I know that are in here, thank you. Brother, I love you. I appreciate you. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you. I wish I could do more at this particular point, but by the grace of God, as we go forward, we'll see what God has in store. Just two quick things before I close in prayer. We will not have Awana tonight or youth. So just keep that in mind. We do not have youth or Awana tonight, just as a safety precaution. And we'll look forward to seeing you online this week as we continue through our Bible study that you see on Wednesday evenings. If you're not sure how to get that, you can get that on the public Facebook page, which is the one you're probably watching this on now if you're watching it. So at any rate, we're so glad to see you today. I pray that you will enjoy all the blessings that God is going to give us today just because of his love. So any other announcements, anything like that? Have I missed anything? Okay. All right. Well, let's dismiss in a word of prayer. We will also ask the blessing upon our offering. If you're in this building, the box that you see sitting on the table is our offering receptacle. There is a table for those that are sitting outside on the lawn or in your cars. There's a table with a box out there. Or if you're over in our sanctuary, you can just place your offering in the offering plate down there on the communion table. And we look so forward to what God has planned as we go forward and as we head into the holiday seasons. Thanksgiving is coming up, and we're looking forward to being able to spend some time with family in that regard. So let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the offering, and may God use us in somebody's life this very day. Father, you're good to us, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that not only did you give us Jesus Christ and that sacrifice upon Calvary's cross that makes possible salvation by grace through faith, but Lord, you've called us to voluntarily sign up to be a part of your army. But Lord, along with that, there are some expectations. Father, I pray that you will work with each and every one of us in regard to those expectations, that we might be meeting them. Father, that doesn't make us perfect, but Lord, help us to strive to be all we can be for you, realizing that it's not in our might that we do these things, it is in yours. Father, we thank you for those today who may have trusted you as Lord and Savior for the first time. We pray that we might be able to help disciple them along the way, give them some tools to help them grow, that Lord, we might be like Paul as he shared with young Timothy. As Paul's life was about to run out, he was encouraging Timothy to go out, to preach the gospel, to make disciples that others may continue to go out and preach that same gospel, Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. Help us, Lord, to be faithful above all things as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you later.